Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head games, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome, Roto Grinders, Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast here on this 27th day of March. You got Dan Bach with you, and happy to be taking you through the night that is going to be in Daily Fantasy Hoops, because again, that's the season we're in. Slowly but surely moving to MLB. We're not there yet, but when we do, we'll certainly bring that into the discussion here on the podcast. But till then, we'll kind of break down the slate for you and hopefully give you a nice basis for your night, and hopefully things are going well for you. Yesterday was like a nice little off day. Obviously dabbled in a little bit of college basketball with the Sweet 16 games going on, and you can do that again tonight. So you've got games everywhere across the industry, but certainly want to thank our sponsor FanDuel, putting their name on this very show for quite some time. And hey, I got good news. I'm going to be out there at the FanDuel live event. Now, unfortunately, the good news isn't I qualified. Boo-hoo, I know. They might have one or two of those cues left, but I'm going to be going out to South Beach covering the event at worst-case scenario. So, if you're one of the lucky people who have made it to the final 50 of this tournament, make sure you find me out there. I'll be coming in late Thursday, hanging out there all day Friday. Hopefully be doing my Sirius show from there as well. And then, of course, we'll be doing live coverage here on rotogrinders.com. So be sure, come by, don't be a stranger, say hi. I'm the bald guy with a Roto Grinders shirt on. Very easy to find. Stand out like a sore thumb at those events. But really looking forward to the first non-Vegas event for FanDuel. You know, they've obviously done the Vegas final for a long time, for as long as I could remember. That was all they've ever done. And they mixed it up a little bit. I guess they did do Playboy Mansion for football and basketball. So I didn't go to those, but I heard they were just tremendous parties. But in terms of, you know, World Fantasy Basketball Championship or, you know, site championships, this is the first one that they've ventured outside of Vegas for. So hopefully the weather holds up. You know, Florida in April, it's usually like the best month to basically live down here. So I wouldn't worry too much about that, but I think it's just going to be fun to see who can walk away with that title. And of course, Major League Baseball, I'm sure we'll hear announcements for their World Fantasy Baseball Championship. The dates are already set. If you go to FanDuel.com/WFBBC, I think it is, or WFBC, no, not two Bs, just one. The dates are set in, I believe it's August. I don't want to put the wrong ones out there, but I think it's mid to late August there. And again, that looks like it will likely be out there at the Cosmopolitan again. So I'm sure we'll get more details, prize pools, qualifiers, all that kind of stuff here in the coming days and weeks. But we still have a full slate of NBA basketball for us tonight. Huge shout out to the first and second place winners in the Mega Slam. I know they're kind of grinders guys. I know the guy who won, it was his first night playing on FanDuel. Amazing. What a first night that is. You can go and read Leo Howell's interview with him. He's going to be doing a lot more of those sort of, you know, interviews and kind of content along those lines for us. And his first two columns are up, looking at his lineup and then doing an interview with him. And really great stuff. And what a way to kind of have your first day on a site, win $100,000 and a chance at another $100,000. So he gave a shout out to the podcast, which is cool. So congrats. And then the second place finisher is another guy who tweeted at us, who's like, yeah, you know, finally hit. Thank you for your help. And you know what? We appreciate all you guys whenever you do that. It makes us feel good. You know, I mean, especially in like podcast form and, you know, radio, for example, when I do Sirius, a lot of user interaction, you know, people calling up, talking to people every single day. With this podcast, I don't know if there's 10 people listening or 20,000 people listening. I just don't care to know. Like, you just don't see it. It's not in front of you. And when people, you know, levy feedback and thank you, it's kind of nice. You don't have to do it, but it does make us feel pretty good when you do. And we're always happy to help. So that's what this show is all about. And if we can make your life easier as a daily fantasy player, that's basically the goal of not just this show, but pretty much the site in general. You know, we realize you guys have jobs, you have families, and you can't necessarily do all the work that's necessary. So if we can kind of give you a helping hand and make that research process a little bit easier, that's what we're here to do. So hopefully you've enjoyed it to this point and you continue to as we move forward. But congrats to both those guys and, you know, anybody who has success using our stuff. We certainly are happy to help. So good job by you. Ultimately, we can give you all the tools. We can give you all the suggestions. You still got to put that winning roster together. So we're not taking credit for it at whatsoever, but we're happy to have played any sort of part when you do have success. So enjoy the game, okay? Enjoy your success. That's what it's about. Okay, let's get into the game. Tonight's a full slate, so enough kind of small talk, not a whole lot of industry news to necessarily yap about here today. Oh, by the way, the Iowa bill passed the Senate. Hasn't passed the House yet. So if you live in Iowa, you know somebody who lives in Iowa, Peter Schenke wrote a wire, added a post on our forums about it. Basically, there's a link or a phone call to be made to a state House member. Do it, because get Daily Fantasy legalized out there in Iowa. We're close. We're very, very close. Looks like we're one step away, so hopefully you can make that happen. And if you do live in Iowa, well, it's interesting that you're listening to this podcast. If you know somebody who lives in Iowa, tell them, hey, you know, make a phone call. It goes a long way in terms of moving this this game even forward even more than it already has. Okay, let's get to the games tonight. Not a bad slate in the NBA. Let's do it. All right, 13-game slate. I guess that's what happens after a solo game slate on Thursday. But we'll break it down one by one. First up for us tonight is Detroit and Orlando. All I have to say is Andre Drummond, you might want to put him in your lineup tonight. He's only averaging 47 fantasy points a game in the three matchups against the Orlando Magic, and he's been red hot the last few. Greg Monroe has certainly helped his cause as he's gone for 50 fantasy points in each of the last two games against Toronto, which is, you know, a little bit of a surprise, and then Boston not so much. But the fact that, you know, he was already playing well against Orlando when he had Monroe in the lineup. You take Monroe out at 9,300 on FanDuel. That's going to be a tough fade for me tonight. Looks like a really safe play at center. Monroe is going to travel. I doubt he's going to play. Reggie Jackson, his salary, starting to creep up a little bit, 7,900. But three straight games in the 40s and four of his last five over 40. So still not a bad play for the production that he's been putting forth. And I don't necessarily think today it ends. I like him better than Elfrid Payton for 600 more. Payton's good, though. I mean, 19 points last game. He had that one off game against Denver, but had been pretty solid in three of his past four games. But if I'm going to give the edge here, I think it's going to be towards Reggie Jackson. The guy who's really been, you know, just playing out of his mind lately has been Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He has gone for 30 fantasy points or more three of his last four games. 5,500 tonight. He's just jacking the ball up. And you know what? He's actually been adding a few other stats lately. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 8 rebounds. Had an 8 rebound game against Philadelphia a week ago as well. So KCP might be somebody to consider. I think, you know, there's going to be a game where those shots don't fall. You know, he's a jump shooter and it's very risky, putting too much of an investment in a jump shooter like him. But at 5,500, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to go for the 39, 38 fantasy points we've seen the last couple games. So clearly somebody to put on your radar. Oladipo, I think, is a bit overpriced now when you consider Tobias Harris has returned to the lineup. Elfrid Payton's been playing well. So I think I'm going to fade him at that price. Harris is somewhat intriguing at 6,500. Played 36 minutes, only got 20 fantasy points last game. I think typically he's going to do better than that, but this Orlando team, not in tank mode, but in an uninteresting mode, to say the very least. Even Vucevic, you know, 8K, it's not a bad salary, especially when you look back at the matchups against Detroit, and the fact that Andre Drummond, not a really good defender in his own right, so Vooch could be a nice kind of contrarian play for you tonight. Hasn't been highly owned whatsoever. Even last game, I had him in a few of the slam teams, and I think he was, you know, 5% owned. And basically right now, 8,000 on Nikola Vucevic, probably the lowest price he's had all year. So we, you know, it's like the stock market. Buy low, sell high. Well, we're buying low right now on Nikola Vucevic, and we're selling high right now on Victor Oladipo. So keep that in mind for this game. Clippers and Philly. Clippers playing really well. I mean, boy, that blowout. Sometimes I wish I was like the Almanac, Dean Chavelson, and could live in Vegas and bet some of these games. I'm not a big sports bettor, but man, when I saw that they were 16-point favorites on the road, I knew they were going to win by like 50, and that's exactly what they did. Sat most people the second half. This game against Philly, I think they're 9-point favorites here. Philadelphia's been playing inspired basketball lately, so maybe they can keep it competitive enough here, but just a few names to look at. Obviously, Chris Paul at 10-8. Even in 28 minutes, he scored 40 fantasy points against the New York Knicks. If he gets anywhere near 35 to 38 minutes like he normally sees, he should be able to get to that 50 fantasy point mark here tonight. I'm not really interested in too many of the shooting guards here. I guess Austin Rivers is a min salary play if you believe in the blowout, but don't play Austin Rivers. Just way too risky. Don't do it. There's other options. Over at small forward, Bob Covington's been playing better lately. 38 fantasy points against Denver. Pretty good game there against Sacramento. Obviously, I think his status is contingent on Jason Richardson likely sitting out. And it looks like Emba Mute is going to miss did miss the last game against Denver. So if there's some injuries out there, Covington could get a bump, but I don't love him against the Clippers at 5,200. But the bigs in this game, we got to keep our eye on. Blake Griffin, 9,200. He's been good. He hasn't, against New York, he was on his way to his typical mid-30s production. He's probably about $500 to $600 overpriced based on his recent production. But again, who's going to guard him over there for the Philadelphia 76ers? I mean, I guess Nerlens Noel, maybe? Henry Sims? I don't know. I mean, Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, again, should have their way with the interior here. Jordan, though, at 9,200, just overpriced. Again, you're buying high on him. That salary got that high because he was playing without Blake Griffin. And since Griffin's come back, he's been good, but he hasn't been 50 fantasy points steady good, and that's what you need almost at 9,200. So even though the matchup's nice, I just don't know if I can pay up for him here tonight. Spencer Hawes at 3,800, no thank you. He's just not a good, but he got some revenge factor. Revenge factor? Probably not. So not a ton of plays I'm looking at. Nerlens Noel has been playing out of his mind. I think he should be probably the rookie of the year, him or Wiggins. Actually, I think he's been playing better than Wiggins, so I'd give him the edge in that contest. But double-doubles in each of the last two, and he just fills it up. I mean, blocks, steals, and for a guy who's, 6'11", 7', whatever he might be, he gets a lot of steals. He's got a handful of 4 or 5 steal games, and when you put that with, 3 to 4 block games, double-doubles, you're looking at upper 40s fantasy production like we saw against Denver. Not sure he'll do that here tonight, but he's been playing well. 7,700. Again, paying a bit of a premium on him, but I don't think he's out of play by any stretch. Charlotte, Washington. Not a great game for me, but a couple of things to keep our eye on. John Wall, I don't mind him here tonight. Again, played pretty good last game, as I figured he would against Indiana. 51 fantasy points. I think he's in play again here, going against the likes of Kemba Walker, Mo Williams. Neither of these guys particularly great defenders. Now, Mo did sit out the practice yesterday, so if he would be out tonight, then I think that certainly Kemba Walker gets a huge bump. Now, Walker, I don't hate him at 7,600 here tonight. John Wall, okay defender, but again, you take Mo Williams out of the equation, I think that's even more shots potentially for him. Keep your eye on Bradley Beal. I would be surprised if he plays. He said he's okay. I guess he did do go to practice at some point yesterday. To me, it's a bit foolish to play him. If he is out, I think we're going to see Otto Porter draw the start. And Otto Porter hasn't been playing great lately. 1 minute, 6 minutes, 5 minutes. But in some of the games that he started, he's been decent enough to make value at men's salary. So if that's the case, he could be a guy to look at. I thought about Paul Pierce, and then I looked at the game log, and then I said, probably not Paul Pierce. Washington overall, kind of in a funk. Not a whole lot that I'm interested in on this team. Al Jefferson, a lot of people didn't play him the other day. Scored 40 fantasy points against Brooklyn. Gortat, a bit better defender than I think he faced there in Brook Lopez. 7,600, fair price for him. As the, I guess, Al Jefferson whisperer, as people say, kind of on the fence with Al Jefferson. For me, yeah, give me some Andre Drummond over Jefferson tonight. Miami, Atlanta, Jeff Teague could be, I think both point guards in this game, kind of intriguing here. Teague played really well against Miami earlier this year, and he's at 6,400. I think he's easily get you mid-30s with 40 fantasy point upside. Not a lot of guys can at that price point, so I don't mind Jeff Teague tonight. And I also don't mind Goran Dragic. There you go, Goran Dragic. 6,900, and particularly if Dwayne Wade would sit this game out again. That was a surprise scratch for everybody the other night, and he certainly upped his production, highest point total in the last 10 games, to go along with 5 boards, 7 assists. Usually gets a couple of steals as well, so I think he's got mid to upper 30s production at 6,900 against Atlanta. I can get behind that play. Obviously, keep our eyes on Wade. Probably not too interested in him against this tough defensive team if he does go. Raise your hand if you got burned by Michael Beasley the other night. I know it's a podcast and you can't see me, but my hand has risen. Ugh, man, that was a nightmare situation. Luol Deng, on the other hand, has a pretty good history against the Atlanta Hawks, and he hasn't been great. Only 30 fantasy points once in the last 10 games, but I think he's a GPP flyer without Dwayne Wade in there. Paul Millsap, less than, 6% owned or so last Mega Slam night, and goes for 51 fantasy points. I think we gave him a little bit of a tout here on the podcast, and another spot which, yeah, I'm not in love with him because of the pace of this game. I think it's going to be a little bit slower, but and the ownership is obviously going to be a bit higher, but he's been fairly consistent, and again, a pretty high floor. At least, you know you're probably going to get in the 30s for him, and he popped a 51 burger against Orlando last time, so he certainly can get to that point. Center spot, Hassan Whiteside likely to be out of this one. Al Horford, his minutes seem to be down a little bit. It looks like Antich has been playing a bit more lately, and it's kind of cutting into his production. But size-wise, the matchup's just going to be tremendous for him. I mean, he could potentially have Udonis Haslem guarding him. Yeah, advantage Al Horford there. 7,400, not a cash game play by any measure, but if you're rolling multiple lineups out there, I don't think he'll be highly owned whatsoever. Cleveland-Brooklyn. This game is not one that I'm overly excited about. Brooklyn's played Cleveland pretty well in terms of holding down their stars lately. And the injuries that we got to take a look at, first off, power forward. No Thaddeus Young likely tonight for the Brooklyn Nets. So question is, who gets the start there? Is it going to be Bojan Bogdanovic? Could be him. Allen Anderson could slide over and get some extra playing time in this game. So just keep your eye on the rotation. I don't think they would play Plumlee and Brook Lopez together. That doesn't seem like an ideal scenario. Now, Lopez took 28 shots, I think, last game. 26 shots, 16 for 26. And somehow got 10 rebounds. He doesn't ever get 10 rebounds, but he managed to last game. And 54 fantasy points. He's been hot. I mean, look at the logs. 54, 41, 37, 65, 30. And, of course, that 30, 10, 8, 5, and 2 came against Cleveland. So, is this a game for him to come back down to earth? Maybe. Cleveland's playing really well. I mean, if you saw that game against the Memphis Grizzlies, I mean, teams don't go into Memphis and dominate that team like Cleveland did. So, they're playing really, really well right now, a ton of confidence. I think Lopez, fine cash game play. I think a lot of people are going to have him. I think he's, I don't say he's super safe, but he's underpriced. I mean, he's playing at an $8,500 level right now, and he's $7,800. So you're getting his savings based on, you know, his current production. I'm not in love with him today, though, based on the previous game versus Cleveland. So, and I don't know, just not feeling it. Kind of like I didn't feel Cantor the other night, and he didn't quite work out. Kyrie 8,200, pretty low price there for him. Obviously, always a great tournament play because he has the ability to just go nuts. LeBron, I think he got priced up a little bit. 11-1 for him. Didn't play particularly great against Memphis, but he's freaking LeBron James. Never really a bad play if you can find the value to put around him. And the guy who's sneaky tonight, I think, is Kevin Love, 7,300. I mean, that's a low price tag for him over on FanDuel tonight. Had a 41 spot against Memphis. Obviously, the price came down after the Milwaukee game where he went 9-3-2, and then just went nuts against Memphis. And this could be a good spot for him as well. I don't think that Thad Young being out does anything but necessarily help Kevin Love here. So playing with maybe a bit more confidence. I'm not saying he's going to give you 40 again tonight, but would you take 35 to 39? Yeah, I would at 7,300, and I think he certainly can pull that off. So don't mind him tonight at that low price tag. Boston and New York. You know, this is a game I should pay some attention to, but I just can't do it. Both these teams are just not good fantasy options right now. Boston got healthy. They played like 10 guys last game against Miami. Isaiah Thomas, you know, kind of cut into the Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, Evan Turner. Just a tough situation. I don't know where to go with this one. And if I don't have a very confident read on it, I just pass on it on a 13-game day. So that's probably what I'm going to do tonight. Lakers and Toronto, on the other hand, there's lots of plays here. Lynn and Clarkson, both these guys playing really well. Could you play both these point guards on your team? You could. But if I got to pick one, it's going to be Lynn and save the $900. The only worrisome part with Lynn was late in that game, they were playing Jabari Brown instead of Lynn. Not sure why, but I loved the savings a little bit on him. But I don't hate Clarkson in tournaments as a contrarian play. We've seen him have some big nights, maybe chasing a little bit. I mean, that 50-point game against OKC was a bit of an anomaly, but he's pretty safe in the 30s, but probably give the edge to Lynn. Kyle Lowry, if he is out again, how about Grievous Vasquez? Coming off a career-high 22 points, and I don't know if he's going to... I don't know if actually that was a career-high in points. It was a career-high in three-pointers. I think he had six. Probably not going to do that again. I think his production is more in the low 20s than the high 20s. And great matchup, though. You got the Lakers, who just suck against point guards, and he's under 4K. So if you want to punt, you want to go studs and scrubs, he's a scrub to at least consider for you today. I think DeMar DeRozan might be locked in my shooting guard spot here against the Lakers tonight, especially if Kyle Lowry remains out, which I expect him to do. Chicago, not a great game for him, 22-5. But he had some Jimmy Butler defense to worry about. Now he's got, what, Wayne Ellington or Jeremy Lin or Jordan Clarkson defense to worry about? Yeah, I think he gets back in line. Looks like a nice mid-30s, potential 40 fantasy point guy tonight. Lou Williams, bounced back decent, scored 18. Again, he's so reliant on scoring. Look at the rebounds and assists here. 2-1, 2-0, 1-4, 3-2, 0-4, 3-0, 0-3. Ah, man, 4,700 is a nice price. And if Lowry's out, it gives him a little bit of a bump. But, man, just too one-dimensional for my liking. Other guys to consider. I know Terrence Ross got off to bang-up start last game against Chicago. Did finish with 16 points. Another guy who doesn't do anything besides score. But he's mid-salary. He's going to start. May jack up a few extra shots. Now on to power forward. How about Tariq Black and Ryan Kelly? Man, Kelly, two straight games of, you know, making value. You know, 37 minutes, 29 minutes, 27 fantasy points, 31. So he's 3,800. Seemed committed to playing him and Black over Boozer and Hill. So Black at 4K. I don't think Tariq Black's a good player at all. At all. But he's cheap. He's playing 30 minutes. Somebody has to grab some rebounds. So he's a viable punt option at power forward. In terms of the Raptors, Amir Johnson might not be terrible going against this matchup here against the Lakers. He's cheap, 4,600. Rebound totals have kind of been there, 11, 8 last two games, 8 and 13 points. Not great, but not horrible, so I don't mind him. His salary's low enough where I'll take a shot. And Jonas Valanciunas, you know, let's consider him as well. I mean, Tariq Black, not a particularly big man, to say the very least, and he's only 6K. And look at, you know, 28 you'll take, 28, I mean, it's okay, it's not great, it's not terrible, but he's got 30 fantasy points in Looks like three of his past six games anyway. So at 6K, you're looking at 5X return. We'll take that all day long. So Valanciunas absolutely in play as a lower tier center. Okay, Sacramento and New Orleans. I've got no issues with Anthony Davis pretty much ever, especially when he plays 44 minutes like he did against Houston. I think he'll play a lot here as well against Sacramento. Probably one of your top high-dollar options of the night. Tyreek Evans came into the game, got off to a red-hot start, and then kind of cooled down, but still finished with a 40 spot. 7,600, nice price tag for him for as long as he's healthy, and he obviously is in this game. Eric Gordon gets the matchup against Ben McLemore potentially here, and coming off a classic Eric Gordon game, 42 minutes, 6 points, and 3 assists. How is that possible for a guy who's that talented, that good of a shooter? 6 points? I think he'll rebound much better in this game. 5,800 isn't cheap enough, though, for me to want to go, you know, all in on him. I probably would still take Caldwell Pope for cheaper than Eric Gordon right now. Rudy Gay, I think he had a pretty mediocre game last time out against Phoenix, 14-4-5. That was kind of the Boogie Cousins show. I'm all right with him, but I think I'd prefer Kawhi Leonard in that 8K small forward option. And then at center spot, DeMarcus Cousins is good. 11-1, 42 fantasy points last game against Phoenix. You know, you can get Drummond for about a little less than 2K cheaper. I think I prefer that play, but I don't mind Cousins. And hell, if you're playing on DraftKings or Fantasy Aces, Victiv, Fantasy Feud, and you can roster two centers, then yeah, I think DeMarcus Cousins and Andre Drummond on the same team does sound like a pretty good idea. Minnesota and Houston, you know, we've been loading up on, you know, teams playing Minnesota and the Minnesota players themselves. I just worry about a major blowout in this game. We've got a 12-point opening line, it looks like, here for Houston. Minnesota, I think Kevin Martin might play tonight, but the small forwards there, both Wiggins and Budinger, look like great plays tonight. I'm not really too much on Zach LaVine. I think he's overpriced at 5,100. He's only hit 30 once in the last 10 games, despite the heavy minutes he's playing. So I'm not going to kind of go there tonight. As for James Harden, he's good at 11. He's a great player, no doubt. You know, 50 fantasy point upside. Matchup's good, but if it's over by the fourth quarter, I don't know how much James Harden we're necessarily going to see. So I like him for tournaments. I don't even hate him for cash if you find the value for it, but probably not my top guy of the night. Other guys to consider here, I think we don't want any Dwight Howard based on the minutes restriction. Gorgui Dieng, matchup not great with Howard potentially coming back. Again, I think it mainly comes down to Wiggins, Budinger, and Ariza. You know, 5,800, his salary didn't go up after that 44 spot the other night against New Orleans. And he's been really steady. I mean, he had one dud against Indiana, and otherwise he's had five of his past six go for 30 fantasy points or more. He's below 6K. So the shot's fallen for him. He fills up, rebounds, and assists, gets you a few steals. So not hating on Trevor Ariza for the savings. Okay, Golden State and Memphis. Golden State always risky this time of year, especially, you know, they basically got it locked up in terms of their standing within the Western Conference. But, you know, Memphis has had their number. They've won 12 out of the last 14 games against Golden State, and I think that Steve Kerr is going to want to go to the playoffs with, feeling pretty good that they can beat this team. So I'll be surprised if they don't give a full effort or sit guys in this game. That would really surprise me if they did do that. So with that said, Steph Curry at 10K is expensive, but this game's competitive, which I think it might be, then I think that he's usually a fine play. He makes everything go for this team. Over at the shooting guard spot, Klay Thompson, 6,800. That's a really low price tag for him. We obviously like him a lot better at home, but I think he's got heavy upside for sure. Might get a little Tony Allen defense, but Klay Thompson, pretty good player. Not really too worried about that. And then you got the typical names. You know, Draymond Green, pretty consistent guy, hard worker. 14, 11, 8, and 3 last game against Portland. He's 7,600, so you got a nice savings on him. And probably not too many of the bigs in this game for Golden State that I'm looking at. Gasol, 7,800, you know, he's probably a bit overpriced based on his, you know, he doesn't even have a 40. He's got one 40 spot in the last 10 games. It's kind of what I'm looking for at that price, so I'll probably pass there. Zeebo could be somewhat intriguing. Coming off a really bad game against Cleveland, I could see him rebound back into the mid-30s, 40s. Tough matchup here, but they need him to play big to have a chance to beat Golden State. Jeff Green, somewhat intriguing as a mid-price small forward, 4,900. He's hit 30 in two of the last five games. So, you know, pace in this game is going to be up. Don't love it, but wouldn't hate it as a shot-in-the-dark play. Probably off of Allen, probably off of Mike Conley here tonight. So that's how I'm looking at that game. Dallas, San Antonio. San Antonio got beat by Dallas just a couple of days ago. And Monte Ellis went absolutely nutso, 48 fantasy points that day. Don't think we're necessarily going to see that again. I think San Antonio will play a little bit better here. Maybe Tony Parker. He had a 40 spot last game. Really inconsistent, so it makes him tough in cash. But if you look at the 10-game log, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games at 36 fantasy points or more, which you'll definitely take at 5,800. But he's also got 1, 2, 3 games at below 20. So that's GPP play only, boys and girls. In terms of anybody else on this team, Kawhi Leonard, I'm fine with him against Dallas. I think he should be able to handle Chandler Parsons just fine. Scored 40-plus fantasy points against him last time they played. He looks like a pretty safe option for me. Besides that, I don't really play many other Spurs. Duncan, no thanks. Tiago Splitter, no thanks. Danny Green, no thanks. So probably Tony Parker in tournaments and Kawhi Leonard. He's fine for cash. Yeah, I think they'll play and probably play well. Utah and Denver. This is a game that we're waiting on the status of Gordon Hayward. He's missed the last couple games. Probable, though, for tonight. I think that'll cut into some of the Elijah Millsap love that we've had, the Joe Ingles love that we've had, which is good because we really don't want to love those guys. We don't want to play Joe Ingles. I don't. So, Gordon Hayward, hurry back, please. But they play really good defense. Denver, on the other hand, they've been playing better, obviously, since Brian Shaw left. Ty Lawson had his best game in a while, I'd say. 19-4-6-1-2 against Philadelphia. I don't mind him here tonight in terms of tournaments. I think he'll be a low-owned option. Trey Burke, he was great, but I think a lot of that had to do with Gordon Hayward being out. With Hayward in, there's a few shots that Burke was taking, which are going to go to him instead, but still playing with a lot of confidence. I don't hate it at 51, even if he comes back, because, you know what, he's kind of proven that he wants to take a bunch of jump shots lately. I don't see that necessarily automatically changing. Obviously, usage of Hayward is going to cut into some of that production, but he's still cheap. Derek Favors, is as long as he's under 8K, I can get behind him. I mean, he's had, what, three straight games over 40 fantasy points. Yes, Hayward was gone, but you know what? He can still hit that mark. I mean, 39, 32, 46, 38 in games earlier this month when Hayward was around. So it's 7,900, very safe play. And going against Denver, ideal matchup for him and Rudy Gobert, the Stifle Tower. Zero blocks last game, a little bit disappointing there. But this could be a spot for him to get a few more. 8,500, expensive, but I think he's probably more of a tournament play for me if he kind of goes in one of those, you know, crazy, you know, 18, 15, 4 or 5 block games than cash game. If I'm going cash game, I'm going to go Drummond 500 more or so, or 700 more than Gobert. Last but not least, Portland, Phoenix. This game should be pretty competitive, I think. Phoenix definitely trying to fight their way into the playoffs, 3 games out. Damian Lillard, you know, even against a pretty tough Utah team, managed a nice game, 50 fantasy points, so he's starting to get hot. 8,800 is not a cheap price tag. I think I'd probably rather have John Wall than Damian Lillard if I had to choose between those two tonight, but I do not hate him at all this evening. Eric Bledsoe, keep an eye on him. He was sick last game, still played against Sacramento, but boy, don't we wish we knew he was sick. We probably wouldn't have played him. If that illness hasn't gotten better, it's tough to pay 87 for him in the shooting guard spot. But going against Aaron Aflalo, he should be able to have his way with him. Brandon Knight, we expected him to come back last game. Never did. Maybe tonight is the night it happens. We'll see, but likely will be off the bench. Nick Batum is supposed to return to the lineup as well tonight. And obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge played last game. Aldridge could be sneaky in tournaments. I mean, the game log isn't overly impressive. But I think a lot of people will be sleeping on him, saying, he's still hurt. Played bad last game. But that was against Utah. Really tough defense. I mean, there's you got an excuse there to go under 30 fantasy points against them. Phoenix, on the other hand, I could see it being a little bit different story. He could easily, he had a stretch there, 48, 54, 43, 43. That's pretty consistent. So I see him getting back in it here against Phoenix at home. Center-wise, not a whole lot of interest on either end of the spectrum here. Marcus Morris, still cheap at 5,500. He did draw the start. I think he's still going to start when Knight comes back. He's the one guy I'm really spying for Phoenix tonight would be Marcus Morris. So there you go. That's the look at this 13-game slate in the NBA. As always, best of luck in your matchups. All right, let me tell you about my friends over there at FanDuel, FanDuel.com. Of course, tonight the Slam is back, and it's $275K. That's a lot of money. First place in that tournament wins a $20,000 payday, so buy yourself a new car. You could. Just make sure you save some for taxes. Don't forget about that. But $25, the buy-in price point there. It's about half full as of about 10 o'clock Eastern this time this morning. You got the Monster at 80K. You've got the Shot, only $2. $175,000 guaranteed. Turn that $2 into $15. And here's just a little note. If you're playing the Slam for $25, you're putting 10 teams in, just spend the extra $20. It's one more team and throw it in the Shot. Okay? It's $2 and you could be making an extra $15. You've already got the teams made. Double your pleasure, double your fun. Was that double mint gum back in the day? I guess. But do it. You'll thank me for it when you win that extra 15K. And when you do that, send me a nice gift basket with some strawberries in it and we'll call it even. Simple. FanDuel, also the World Fantasy Basketball Championship, they don't see a queue sitting in the lobby tonight. So I don't know if they are filled up. I think they might have one or two left, but I don't see one out there tonight. But of course, that championship going to be happening in a couple weeks out there in South Beach. They do have King of the Ice as well, you hockey fans. April the 2nd, quarter of $1 million in cash prizes, $250K on the line. So definitely be looking to that tournament happening next week over there on FanDuel for you hockey fans. So I'm pretty sure they've got some satellites. Yeah, they've got King of the Ice tickets for sure. Those are pretty awesome, by the way. So $200, that's the buy-in on the King of the Ice. So if that's too expensive, try and win one of those satellites. I love the satellites. Satellites are great because once you win those tickets, it almost feels like free entry into it because you don't even think about how much you spent to get them. All you know is you didn't buy it in. So I love going after the tickets. So definitely give that a look. College basketball tonight, of course, more Sweet 16 games. The Alley-Oop $20,000 tournament over there on FanDuel tonight on a $25 buy-in. And cash games, double-ups, they've got it all going. Great sponsor of this very show. We thank them much, FanDuel.com. And with that, we're going to say goodbye to you for tonight. We thank you so much for the listen, the download. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. We've got 3 hours of Grinders Live. How does that sound tonight? Here's our lineup. We got Brent Devine. We've got Draft Cheat at 3:30. We got Gaby and Adam Levitan at 4:30 of Roto World. And Dean and Al Smizzle at 5:30. Tonight, catch me on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. If you don't have it, if you're like, Dan, I don't have it in my car, get the app. You can just get the phone app and listen to it on your phone. Use the headphones. I'm on from 6 to 7, so even when Grinders Live is over, you still got 30 more minutes to get some gongs, get some advice, and hopefully you're enjoying that show because we are enjoying doing it. So find us on Sirius tonight, XM 87, Sirius 201. I think I say it enough, or Sirius 210, XM 87. Boom. I say it every day. You'd think I would have it memorized by now. But nonetheless, looking forward to that show here tonight. And of course, next week, podcast will be back, and MLB will be 1 week closer. But till then, everybody, have yourself a tremendous Friday night and weekend, and we will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders.